the importance of doctrine and understanding what true doctrine is all about as it comes to the Word of God. There is a doctrine that exists outside of Scripture, and that's the doctrine that we are to avoid. We should always look at the Scripture and find out what the Scripture has to teach and allow that to motivate us to be the ambassadors for Christ that we should be. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this opportunity this morning that we have to come together to study Your Word. May we glean from Your Word the truth that resides within inside it. May we allow that Word to implement in our heart, that we would again go out and be the ambassadors for Christ that we should be, not for our honor and glory, but rather for Your honor and glory. For it is through Jesus Christ's most holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Here in Colossians chapter number 1, we see the importance the Apostle Paul stresses to the church of Colossae that they be filled, as the latter part of verse number 9 says, the knowledge of His will. And when you have the knowledge of His will, you have wisdom and spiritual understanding. That's the doctrine that we want to be a part of. That's the doctrine that we want to take resonant with inside our heart. Because there is a doctrine. And when you look at the word doctrine is often misused. It's misunderstood. The word doctrine... Hey, that pen works. In the past, I would come here and I'd pick up one of these pens and you'd go, well, you know, sometimes it would work, sometimes it wouldn't, but that's all right. Today, it seems like it wants to work, so far, so good. Doctrine simply means what is taught. When we want to look at Bible doctrine, the doctrine that resides with inside the Word of God, and that's what we want to grab a hold of, because there is a lot of bad doctrine out there, isn't there? An example of that, go to Matthew chapter number 16. The book of Matthew. And we see in the book of Matthew that there is a doctrine that is completely against the Scripture. And that's taught by religion. In Matthew 15, verse number 1, we'll start there. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they wash not their hands when they eat bread? And he answered and said unto them, Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? See, there is a tradition out there. It's a tradition of man. It's religion. And the scribes and the Pharisees were chastising Jesus Christ because his disciples wouldn't do what the scribes and Pharisees would teach, that they were to wash their hands before they ate. And Jesus Christ then lets them have it because they're not following the doctrine and commandments of God. They're following the doctrines and commandments of men. The latter part of verse number 3, why do you transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Verse number 7, ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh with me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is what? Far from me. They're doing the tradition and commandments of men rather than the doctrine that resides with inside the Word of God. That's shown in verse number 9, by the way. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines and commandments of men. See, there is a doctrine that exists out there. There is a doctrine that's taught, and it's the doctrine of religion. It's after the commandments of men. Men constantly want to come up with something to try to put another individual under their thumb. They want that individual to follow into what they believe is appropriate and what they believe is right. But Jesus Christ lets them have it right between the eyes. And he says, you know, you guys honor me with your lips. Verse 8, these people draweth nigh with me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips. It sounds like it's legit. It sounds like it's good. But the last part of that verse says it all. Their heart is what? Far from me. It has absolutely nothing to do with the Word of God. It has to do with the doctrine and commandments of men. And that's precisely what we're to avoid. Stay away from the doctrine and commandments of men. What we want to do, we want to look at the appropriate doctrine, and that's the doctrine as it is taught in Scripture. And specifically, right now, in the age of grace through the Apostle Paul. 2 Timothy chapter 3. A passage that we go over here on a regular basis with good cause. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And notice what the Apostle Paul has to say. This is our apostle. He's the apostle of the Gentiles, it's taught in the book of Romans. This is the apostle that we're to follow. He is our pattern. Verse number 10. But thou hast fully known my what? See, there's a doctrine that the Apostle Paul teaches. It's the doctrine that he has as the dispenser of the message of God's grace. This is the doctrine that we're to be a part of, that we're to grasp, that we're to hold. Not the commandments and doctrines of men, but the doctrine as it was taught through the Apostle Paul. You've known my doctrine, my manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. Verse 14. But continue in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. You see, it's the Scripture that empowers us. It's the Scripture that enables us to be the ambassadors for Christ that we could be. It's not the doctrine and commandments of men. The doctrines and commandments of men are nothing but legalism, again, that try to put you under somebody else's power other than God. What we want to be a part of is what Paul is teaching here in verse 15. You know the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. You want to know where wisdom truly lies? It's not the doctrine and commandments of men. It's the Scripture. It's the Scripture that empowers you. It's the doctrine that's inside that, that gives an edifice for the believer, that builds them up and makes them strong. You see, that, pretty much in a nutshell, is what we reviewed last week. This week we're going to build upon that. And we're going to see how that Word of God, the studying and the value of studying Scripture, gives you the wisdom and knowledge of God. If you would with me, go to John chapter number 5. And while we turn there, John chapter number 5. And while you turn there, I'm going to write something up here real quick. Pen's giving up. It's all right. We'll get through it. What's the value of studying Scripture? It gives you the knowledge of God. When Christ chastised back in Matthew the scribes and the Pharisees, he was telling, you're teaching after the doctrine and commandments of what? Men. You see, but when it comes to studying the Word of God, when it comes to studying Scripture, it's not giving you the value of men, it's giving you the very knowledge of God. You can see this in Matthew chapter number 5, and if you would with me, go to verse 39. Now here in Matthew, or in John rather, we find in John chapter number 5, Christ teaching during his earthly ministry. But in verse number 39, we find an incredible dispensational truth. And Matthew, or John chapter 5, verse number 39. Notice what Christ teaches here. Search what? The Scriptures. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of what? If you want to find out about Jesus Christ, where do you go? The Scripture. It's not rocket science. I often make a comment that I ask very easy questions because I like easy answers. I don't answer tough questions. I like an easy answer because I don't know the answers to the tough questions. But here it's very simple, isn't it? Here we find in John chapter 5, didn't say Matthew that time, here in John chapter number 5, we find the value of Bible study. And that is here in verse 39, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. You want to find out about Jesus Christ? You don't go to the Doctrine and Commandments of men, because you'll just find religious gobbledygook. You have to do this. You have to do that. You can't do this. You can't do that. That's religion. Boy, I used to be a part of a religious team at one point in time. You want to talk about the Doctrine and Commandments of men? It was all religion, and it was all to put me under that church's thumb. You will do this, you will do this, you won't do this, you can't do that. I didn't find a thing out about Jesus Christ. Nothing. Where I began to see about Jesus Christ is when somebody was kind enough to come to me and show the Scripture. That's when I started finding out about Jesus Christ. And think about it. Christ says in the first part, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. How did you get eternal life? Through who? Jesus Christ. And how did you find out about Jesus Christ? Because somebody was kind enough to bring that book up and say, hey, I just want to show you something. And started showing the value of the cross to you. And the importance of what that death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ meant to you. And that through that, you would have the gift of eternal life. You want to find out about Christ? You go to the book. You go to the Scripture. And then the value of studying the Scripture is that it gives you the knowledge of God. Here Jesus Christ says, you want to find out about me? Go to the book. Go to the book. Go to Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10. Life sometimes is quite a pain, is it not? Life at times, you can get so caught up in the events of life, you forget about what's real and what's important. Here's an example of this given. In Luke chapter 10 and verse number 39. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet. And notice what she did. And heard his what?
Word.
Here's an individual that was so impressed by Jesus Christ, realized who he was, sat down and just listened to everything he had to say. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Now here's Martha. Martha no doubt was a pretty good person. And you know what Martha's doing? She's working around the house. She's working and she's laboring. She's getting dinner ready, doing the dishes, and doing that kind of thing. She's all caught up. There's the offense of this life that's going on. Oh, I got to do this, and I got to do that, and I got to do this other thing. And here's this other lady called Mary who went up to Jesus Christ, realized who he was, sat down and listened to him. Martha got upset. I'm doing the whole ball. I'm doing the whole game. I don't want to do that. Lord, would you tell her to come help me? I can get done a lot quicker if she comes help me. Notice what the Lord had to say about it. Verse 41. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that what? Good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Well, what just transpired here? Here's a lady called Mary. Jesus Christ is there, and she realizes, ooh, the Messiah is here. I want to sit down and listen to him. He's got some pretty good stuff. I want to listen to what he has to say. Then there's Martha, who's got caught up in the affairs of life. I got to do the dishes. I got to do the laundry. I got to do this. I got to do that. Hey, you know what, Lord? You know what? She should come help me. I'm tired of doing all but myself. And what the Lord said is, no. Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. You're caught up in the affairs of this life. Relax. Calm down. You know what? Mary hath chosen, verse 42, that good part which shall not be taken away from her. What Mary was listening to was none other than the Word of God. The Word of God was right in front of her. And he was dispensing to her truth. He was giving the very Word to her. Martha got caught up with this life and was saying, I'm tired of doing it all myself. And the Lord says, you don't get it. This lady does. She wants to hear the Word of God. And the Word of God is here, and I'm going to give it to her. She's chosen the better things. You're too caught up and worried about the rest of this stuff. The rest of this stuff means nothing in light of eternity. How often do we get caught up in the same thing? Think about that. There's a lot of things that are going on in life, is there not? Oh, I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do this other thing. Then before the end of the day, I got to do this. And pretty soon, what do you forget to do? Look at what? The Word. The Scripture. And what Christ is saying is, find out about the knowledge of God. Mary wanted to know about the knowledge of God. God was right in front of her. And she wanted to hear it. And what Christ is telling Martha is, I'm not going to take away the Word from her just because you want help. Choose the better thing. What's more important, the affairs of this life or the Scripture? It really is that simple. It really is. Go to Philippians chapter 3. Let's look at our apostle. Here's a man who, based on appearance, had everything. Here's a man who, based on physical appearance, had it all. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 4. The Apostle Paul. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. We'll stop there for one moment. Here's the Apostle Paul. And he says in the first part of verse number 4, though I might have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh he have whereof he might trust in the flesh, I what? More. Paul says, if you think you're somebody special, I'm telling you right now, I had more than you did. He says, I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. He was top dog. He had it all. He says that I was of the tribe of Benjamin. I was a Jew. I knew the law. I was a Pharisee. I had zeal. Did Paul have zeal? Oh, my. Oh. He went out with great zeal and tried to make everyone follow that law. He says in the last part of verse number 6, touching the righteousness of the law, you know what he was? Blameless. I had it all. You think you're hot stuff? You are nothing compared to me. But look what he has to say about the rest of it. Verse 7, but what things were gained to me, I count lost for who? What appearances are deceiving? That's important. I'll say it again. Anything of the appearance of the eye looks fantastic to you, but in comparison with the light of eternity, it means nothing. Nothing. Paul was hot tamale. Bob, you'd like that, wouldn't you? Hot tamale. Boy, he brought this stuff to that picnic. I took this little wee bite of. I put it on the end of my tongue. My end of my tongue is still numb. No, it's not. That's a joke. That last part was. But oh my gosh, was it hot. Paul thought he was hot tamale. And he had it all. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was holy and pious and righteous. And everybody looked at him and went, oh, how wonderful he is. But you know what all of that meant in the light of eternity? Nothing. He says in verse number 7, what things were gained to me, I count loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I, verse 8, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of who? See, it looked like he had everything, but he didn't. He had nothing. He had self-righteousness. But all of that he counts loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I might win Christ. And being found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Jesus Christ, and the righteousness of God by faith, that I may know him. See, Paul wants knowledge. But he wants knowledge in accordance with Jesus Christ. Not according to the religion of this world. The religion of this world in eternity will give you nothing. Nothing. You think you're religious? Please don't be. Because religion will offer you nothing but eternity in the lake of fire. You want true knowledge? Find out about Jesus Christ. Verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Does the resurrection of Jesus Christ give you anything? Oh, it gives you all. By trusting in that finished work of Jesus Christ, you have eternity where you get to be with him. How cool is that? How wonderful is that? The eyes are deceiving. Because it appears that you have it all because you're religious. But it's your power, not the power of Christ. And the power that can be found in him through his resurrection. Look at the verse that we looked at just a little while ago. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 14 of 2 Timothy chapter 3. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of. You've learned something. You're gaining knowledge. Knowing from whom thou hast learned them. Where did they learn about these things? Through the Scripture. Through the message given by the Apostle Paul. Verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known my religion, which is able to make thee... Oh, well, it doesn't say that. And that from a child thou hast known what? Which are able to make thee wise to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. You want to find out about the knowledge of God? It's by studying the Scripture. It's not about what your church doctrinal statement says. It's not about what your preacher says. It's not about what the deacons of the board have to say. It's not about what your mother and dad says. It's not about what your neighbor says. It's about what the Scripture says. It's all about the book. If you want to find out where wisdom and knowledge truly lie, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of through the Scripture. Verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All Scripture is given by inspiration of who?
God.
Not man. And is profitable for doctrine. There's where true doctrine lies. You want to be taught by the Scripture. That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto how many good works? You can be perfectly equipped by that book. You can know how to effectively work through every single solitary circumstance. Because this life is a pain. Is it not? I see a lot of heads going, yes. It's true. Life is a pain. You know, remember those programs that used to be on in the 50s and 60s, Leave It to Beaver and, you know, all that good stuff? You sit down and you feel good, where everything always turns up a bunch of roses and everything works out great and everything's fine. No, it doesn't. Life is a real pain in the neck sometimes, guys. But you know, you can know effectively how to work through that circumstance if you're fully equipped with the doctrine that resides in the Scripture. Sometimes the end result may by appearances not look good, but in light of eternity, it all comes out great. When your husband or your wife or your daughter or your son or yourself are going through a problem, suppose your daughter is lying in bed, is riddled with cancer, and is going to die. Is that a good thing? That's a pain in the neck. But if that daughter is saved and for all of eternity is going to rest with Jesus Christ in the heavenly places. By appearances, it looks like a horrible thing, but you can get through that circumstance if you're fully equipped with the knowledge of God through His Word. You're fully equipped because not only you, but that child of yours is saved for all of eternity. Is that a good thing? Life is a pain. And it says here in verse 17 that you can be fully furnished unto all, not most, not some, not the majority of, but all good works. All of it. Hebrews chapter 4. One of my favorite passages of the Word of God. Verse 12. For the Word of God is quick. It's living. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That book is quick. It's alive. It's living. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's piercing to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit. That book knows you. That book knows you better than you know yourself. And it's able to take, and you know what that book is able to do? It's able to take and transform your thought process to match that which is of God. Have you ever had a thought or two that wasn't exactly scriptural? I'll raise my hand. I did. Big example, not that many years ago, 30 years ago, whatever it was, 25 years ago, I used to think I could earn. Most people think so, yeah. But in light of eternity, what's 30 years? Nothing. I used to think I could work myself to heaven. Now, how good was that in compared to the scripture? Not very good, was it? I used to think I had to do this, and I could do this, and I could do this, and by that, God would look at me and say, you know what, you're better than you are evil, so come on in. Then somebody was kind enough to take me aside and show me something a little bit different. Say, hey, Bob, guess what? It don't work that way. Fact is, none of your works are any good. Your righteousness is filthy rags. The only work that's acceptable is the work of Jesus Christ, and you need to trust in His finished work at Calvary. What did that book just do to me? It took me, it sliced me open, it was a discerner of the thoughts and intents of my heart, and said, Bob, that's not such a good idea. This is the better idea. And I transformed my thought process to match that which is of Scripture, and what did it do for me? There are some other things that I used to think that weren't so hot either. I used to think that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were books to me. Was that such a good idea? Somebody took me aside and showed me the knowledge of God which is found through His Word and said, hey, Bob, not such a good idea. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are good books. But they're not for you, they're for Israel. These books from Romans through Philemon, that on the other hand is some really good stuff. And that's meant for you. Discerner of thoughts and intents of the hearts took and transformed my thought pattern to that which matched the Scripture. Gave me the knowledge of God. By thinking that I was in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that's the doctrines and commandments of men, not the doctrine and commandments of God. It gives me the knowledge of God. There is no other way to find out about God than the Scripture. Hear that? If you want to find out how God is working, where do you go? The Scripture. And then you get yourself involved with the church that is teaching the same thing. This book is a provision for spiritual growth. And it's able to assist you in a source of all spiritual truth, life, and growth. Go to John chapter 6. The Scripture will give you truth, and it will set you free, and it is a provision for growth. John chapter 6, verse number 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. It's the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profiteth what? I'm going to ask that question again because it was a pretty quiet answer. I want to make sure you guys are awake. What kind of profit is there in the flesh? No. There we go. That's better. The flesh will profit you nothing. That's pretty much what Paul was teaching a little while ago when we read about how he was a Pharisee and he was in the righteousness of the law. He was blameless, but he counts them all but dung. Why? Because he was going based on the righteousness which was in his flesh. And he says, that's all but dung. And we all know what dung is, right? Let it go with that. It's all about the book. If you want to find out about God, you find out through His Word. Verse 63, it's a spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. They are what? See, it's that book. It's Christ's words. A little earlier in John, it says about... Let me find it. I'm going to miss... John 4:24. God is a what? And they that worship Him must worship Him how? Where is the Spirit of God residing today? In the Scripture. If you want to find out about how the Spirit is working, you find out through the Word. If you want to find out how to be an ambassador for Christ, you do it through His Word. You don't look at a church's doctrinal statement. You see, there was a guy I had mentioned last week that was talking about, and it was a believer, it was a saved man. And over and over again, he talked and stressed about the importance of a church's doctrinal statement. And church's doctrinal statement doesn't mean a thing unless it matches that with the Scripture. He was saying, you got to do this, you got to do that. No, you don't. Follow what the Scripture says. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And in John 6, verse number 63, it states very clearly, it is a spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. My words, the words of Christ that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. The value of studying the Scripture is it gives you the knowledge of God. It's just like Mary, when she was sitting there and she heard the words of Christ, she was interested. She wanted to find out what He had to say. Because the words that He spake, they were spirit, they were life. If you want to find out about Jesus Christ today in a dispensation of grace, where you go is the Scripture. Because that's what's the key. That's what's important. That means everything to a believer. It's not what religion teaches, it's what the Scripture teaches. Look at Acts chapter 20. I gotta get moving. Acts chapter 20. Acts 20, verse number 32. The Apostle Paul addressing some saints. And notice what he has to say about the whole situation in Acts 20:32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and the word of His what? Grace. Which is able to do what? And give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. It's the Scripture that builds you up. It's the Scripture that gives you an edifice. See, and all too often we get caught up in the circumstances and the affairs of this life, and we forget about that. And what Paul is saying, change your focus. Don't look at the world. Are we a part of the world? And I'm going to say this in this way. Based on the Scripture, are we a part of this world anymore?
No.
Who are we a part of?
Christ.
And where is He? And where are we located? And looking at the circumstances and the affairs of this life, we forget the things because we're a very fleshly being and we like to look at the flesh. And what the Scripture is saying is in Acts 20 and verse 32, just don't do that. I commend you to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up. It's able to edify you and give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. It's the Scripture that's important. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. And notice what being filled with proper knowledge will do for a believer. Ephesians 3, verse number 16. That he would grant you an easy life where you have more money than you know what to do with, and that you just are blessed by all physical things, because understand, God wants you to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. Doesn't say that, does it? Not even close. Verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell on your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Wow! How cool is that? He says, I want you to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Be filled with the wisdom and knowledge of God. And how do you find out about the wisdom and knowledge of God? By looking where? Study to show thyself approved of God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing what? See, it's the book that takes preeminence. Because you want to find out about knowledge, and you want to find out about what God's doing through the person of Jesus Christ, and how the Father works today, and how the Son works today, and how the Holy Spirit works today. Where you go is not your church doctrinal statement. You go to the book. And that book transforms you and changes you to be an ambassador for Christ that you should be. That Christ may, verse 17, dwell in your hearts by faith, and ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. Ephesians 5, one simple verse. Verse number 18. Be not drunk with wine where it is in excess, but be filled with what?
Spirit.
Where does the Spirit work? Scripture. And notice what it will cause in a believer. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one another in a fear of God. You begin to speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord. It changes your focus. See, when Mary and Martha were having that thing going on where the one was listening to Jesus Christ and the other one was doing the works of the world, and Christ says, no, listen, this lady here, she's taking the more important thing. She was focusing on the book. She had the book, the Word of God, right in front of her, and she was hearing the very words of Christ. She chose the more important thing. My suggestion to you and to myself is that we do the same. We focus on the Word of God, and we allow that to be filled with the knowledge of God. Don't go there. Colossians 3, verse number 16. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. The world wants to focus on itself, because that's what the eyes see, and that's what's pleasing to the eyes. When I used to be a part of the old church that I used to belong to years ago, everything that I'd done was for sight. You know that? Everything, and I mean everything, that I was done was based on sight. Because it was looking and appearing that I was doing good to earn everlasting life. And that gained me nothing. If I would have died the day before I got saved, you know where I would have been all of my life? In hell, lake of fire. And unfortunately, that goes on toward a believer, because in a believer's life, what we'll oftentimes attempt to do is we'll try to do the same thing. Not that you're trying to gain eternal life, but you're trying to do little things to be seen in the vision of men. And we're doing it for our own glory and honor. And where does all honor and glory go? To the Lord, to Jesus Christ. If we want to find out where knowledge lies, it's not in my own self-good, because my good is nothing. It's all based in the Word of God and coming to an appreciation and understanding on what we become in Christ, and allowing that Word of God, as Hebrews 4 states, is able to slice you open, show you for who you are, and change your thought pattern to match that of God's, that you can be equipped, fully furnished, unto all good works. That's enough. Next week, we'll build on that a little bit more. Keep in your mind, your sight is deceitful, because everything it's seen is temporal and will be gone in an instant. Instead, look at the Scripture and allow it to effectually work in you that believe, because it's able to build you up and make you an effective minister of reconciliation to the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this time again that we've had to come together and to study your word. As we take that time this morning, may the things which are said and done brought honor and glory to your name. May we allow that to effectually work in us, that we would go out and be the ambassadors for Christ that we should be. We thank you for that, and we give all glory and honor to you. For it is through Jesus Christ's most holy and precious name we pray. Amen.